The opportunity to assemble ourselves in the house of God. Lord, what a joy it is to come to thy house. And we pray, Lord, that this day we might know the experience of thy presence with us again. Come and help in this meeting tonight, we pray. Help us, Lord, as we would sing thy praise. We ask, O God, for every part of this meeting may it be owned and used of God, that through it all thy name would be honored and glorified. Answer prayer and continue with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 609 is our opening hymn, please. 609, Love Divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just to see him through tests of time. We'll keep our seats as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's commit our time to the Lord again. Word of prayer, let's seek God's face in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee this evening for that great love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. We rejoice, O God, tonight that we come to thee. We come, Lord, into thy presence, not because we are any better or have anything more than anyone else, but Lord, we thank thee tonight for the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ toward us, and where he died, and there on the cross of Calvary, he gave his life, shed his precious blood, that we might be saved. Heavenly Father, we praise thee this evening for the gospel of saving grace. We thank thee, O God, tonight that we stand redeemed, each one in this meeting whose blood bought. Lord, we stand redeemed, no longer under the wrath of God, no longer on our way to hell, no longer in the darkness of our sin, but Lord, we thank thee tonight that we stand redeemed in the face and in the sight of God by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we praise Thee this evening that the blood of Christ still cleanses from sin. We thank the Lord tonight that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And O God, we pray that this night You will be pleased, Lord, to reveal Thyself to someone in this meeting, Lord, to someone listening online. Reveal Thyself to them, O God, we pray, in that saving manner. May they see the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. May they see the only hope for their soul this evening. Lord, may they look away from themselves. Lord, may they look away from where they're looking tonight. May they look to Jesus Christ. May they be saved. O God, we pray that this evening You'd snatch sinners as a brand out of the burning. Lord, move in this place tonight, we pray. Pour out Your Holy Spirit. Lord, give convicting power. Lord, bring conversion to souls tonight. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this place truly will be that rescue shop within a yard of hell to some poor seeking soul. Lord, move, we pray. To this end, we cry unto Thee for the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we look to Thee tonight. Come, be one of our number, we pray. Lord, without Thee we can do nothing. Without Thee we are nothing. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray, pour out Your Spirit. Lord, baptize us with power from on high. And Lord, that this night we might all do business with God. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless in this meeting. We pray, Lord, especially for our brother Jonathan, as we come, minister to us in song. Give him help tonight, we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that he might know help even beyond himself this evening. Lord, as he'd minister to us, be with him. Give him, Lord, that needed strength even to minister in song. And Lord, we pray that You'd speak through those messages, Lord, You've given to him. And Lord, as we come around the Word of God, Lord, we pray that tonight the solemnity, and Lord, the seriousness of these matters, Lord, would fall before us. And Heavenly Father, we pray, do our hearts good tonight, we pray. Bless the preaching of the gospel across our land and across our nation. Lord, we pray You'll remember all those who are faithful to the blood and to the book. O God, we cry unto Thee tonight. Lord, move in our land. Move across our nation. And Heavenly Father, we pray, turn many to Thyself, we pray. So answer prayer. Do us good. Pray, Lord, for those who cannot gather with us tonight. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. Pray for those in hospital. Remember, Lord, those tonight who are burdened down with care. Lord, draw near to them. Remember our brother Jim this evening. Lord, in this time of mourning and loss, draw very specially near to him and give him that grace that is needed at this time. And so we commit our way to Thee. Do our hearts good. Be with us in the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. This evening we give a very warm welcome to our brother Jonathan. Jonathan Mitchell, it's your first time to sing for us. Jonathan, you're very welcome. And we want to thank you for coming. Looking forward to having you. We're going to ask you to come and sing your first few pieces at this stage. Thank you, and the Lord bless you.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank your minister for the invitation to come and sing tonight, and I hope that the songs that you hear tonight will be a blessing and encouragement to your hearts as you hear them.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding ever upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then with joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold the city on The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while, and things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Until the day God calls me
in you wonder why tears come into your eyes and burdens seem to be much more than you can stand. But God is standing near. He sees your falling tears. Tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken-hearted soul. He sees your tears and hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands. When grief has left you low, it causes tears to flow, and things have not turned out the way that you had planned. But God won't forget you. His promises are true. Tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken-hearted soul. He sees your tears and hears God weeps along with man and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands. God weeps along with man and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands.
Jonathan, thank you sincerely for those messages and song. You're singing for us again? Yep, good man. That's very true. Tears are a language God understands. And thank God tonight for the bottle of tears that we read about in the Psalms, Psalm 56. God sees our tears, God understands. And thank God he is that man of sorrows. And no matter what we pass through, he passes through with us. He walks with us through those valleys. Jonathan, thank you so much. Certainly been blessed by your ministry already tonight. Can I ask you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. And we want to read tonight from the verse number 12 down to the end of verse 24. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and we will read from verse 12. We have a title that we put on this message tonight, startled some, I know, How to Go to Hell. We're going to look at that tonight. This is a solemn message, a solemn subject, but a message that the Lord has imprinted upon my heart for tonight. I couldn't get from it. And so we look to the Lord to give help. But let's read the Word of God first of all, John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus said, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. And ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. At this stage, I want to welcome you all along to our evening gospel service. Thank you for coming and for sharing with us this evening in the gospel. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well tonight. Again, our sympathies are extended to our brother Jim Armstrong on the death of his brother. And do continue to remember Jim in your prayers, please. Thursday night Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, and we I encourage you to join with us for that time of study around the Word of God and then time of prayer. We will continue our studies in the 23rd Psalm this Thursday evening, God willing. Next Lord's Day, that's Children's Day. We start with the Sunday School and Bible class for the last time for this season, anyway, 10:15 next Sunday morning. And then we have Children's Day, the children taking part by video recording, but still taking part next Sunday morning at 11:30. We want you to come and encourage the children and seek to bring others with you if you can. So the children have recorded a program, and we'll see that next Sunday morning in the morning service. Then the Hollywood Sunday School is also next Sunday at 2:30. And if you're free, you'd be more than welcome to join with the children and the teachers over there at 2:30 for that Children's Day as well. Then next Sunday evening is our youth service, and the young people of our Bible class will be taking part. They've also recorded a program, and I know you'll be blessed by that. Also next Sunday evening, the Walker sisters from Lurgan will be here to sing. So keep this in prayer, plan to be with us, and seek to bring others with you as well to the services next Sunday. Thursday night past, we had our brother Robert McConnell. The offering came to £420, and if you want to add to that, if you weren't able to be with us, then see either William or Richard. Tuesday the 15th of June, 8 p.m, there'll be a meeting of our elders and deacons. Please do remember that. That will be held here in the church. Then on Sunday the 20th of June, that's our family and friends night service at 6:30, and our sister Mrs. Thelma McLeod will be along to testify of the Lord's saving grace in her life. Brought up in an unsaved home in Liverpool, and yet the Lord saved her, called her and her husband into the work of God full time, and we're looking forward to having our sister with us. That's Sunday the 20th of June at 6:30. Then we have our summer camp, 26th to the 30th of July. Registration forms are now out, and you can get those from either Kyle or Anna, and they're also available online as well. So if you know anyone aged between 8 and 16, either in your family, your extended family, or perhaps some of your neighbours, and they would be interested in joining in the summer camp, then please do let Kyle or Anna know. Do continue to remember our brother Sammy Lewis, as he still remains in hospital, and others as well who need our prayers. There are no offerings being lifted up, but the boxes are there as you leave, both downstairs and upstairs, to place your offerings and tithes in. I'm going to ask Jonathan if you come and sing for us again. Lord bless you, Jonathan, as you come and minister to us. Thank you.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountains, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. The
Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you.
And praise God, tonight there is still room at the cross. For you come tonight to Jesus Christ, he'll not turn you away. Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us this evening. Been certainly blessed by your ministry, and thank you for being with us and your help tonight in this meeting. Can I ask you please to turn back with me in the Word of God to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. And there is a phrase that is repeated in verse 21. Verse 24, John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 21, die in your sins. Verse 24, you shall die in your sins. That's what we want to look at this evening, and to change our position, perhaps we could stand just for a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight already for a sense of Thy presence. We thank the Lord for help given to Brother Jonathan as he's ministered to us in song. We thank the Lord tonight for the talents and the abilities You've given to him and how he's using them in the furtherance of the gospel and the blessing that it has been to our souls tonight. Oh God, we thank Thee for these messages in song. We praise Thee, O God, tonight that there's still room the cross for sin-sick sinners. Oh God, we pray that tonight You'll bring the lost by the way of the cross tonight. Lord, we pray You'll bless now the preaching of the Word of God. Give us help. Realize, oh God, that without Thee, this preaching would be in vain. It would be futile. And so, Lord, we look to Thee. Give that help, oh God, that we need. And pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us. And Lord, may this time, Lord, be a time when the devil will be shut out. The forces of hell will be driven back. And Lord, that this time we will know what it is to be shut in with God. Cover this meeting now in the blood. We claim, O God, the victory of the blood of Jesus Christ. Give us help. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I want to pick up on a message that I preached a few weeks ago on the subject of whatever happened to hell. You see, sadly, the word itself tonight is used in phrases and in terminology that is derogatory and defamatory in nature. Often it is used to try to get at someone or to make someone suffer for something that they have done. And yet the sad reality tonight is that such language and those who use such language fail to understand the real magnitude and the real meaning of what they're saying. You see, the matter of someone going to hell is not a trifling matter. It's not an insignificant matter. But rather it is a most serious and an awful thing for anyone tonight to go to hell. It is an awful tragedy beyond compare for anyone to leave this world, to go to hell. And so tonight in the gospel, I want us to look at this most solemn of subjects, I fully acknowledge tonight the task that lies before me is sobering. It's difficult. But tonight I must be faithful to you and seek to present what God has given to me. These are harsh realities tonight we'll be looking at. Facts from Scripture which are not pleasant to the natural mind. And tonight I have absolutely no desire to make light of this subject. I have no desire to make glib statements about hell, but rather tonight I want to be honest. I want to be faithful. And tonight I pray that whatever else you do in this world, you do not go to hell. As we come to these verses here in John's Gospel, chapter 8, I want us to consider what the Lord is saying here. Christ is speaking. And what does he say? The first thing I want us to notice about what Christ has to say about this subject is the plainness. The plainness to be recognized. When the Lord was dealing with these Jews, he used very direct, plain, understandable language. Look what he says in verse 21. "Ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." He didn't, as we would say, beat about the bush. He was direct, he was plain in his message. "Ye shall die in your sins." Now remember, these are the words of the greatest ever preacher. These are the words of the greatest ever teacher that walked. These are the words of the greatest example for gospel preaching, for soul winning, for teaching. And his words are unmistakable. They're unequivocal. They are direct. So direct that no one could misunderstand what the Lord was saying. "Ye shall die in your sins." You know, today what passes for preaching is sometimes nothing more than a coded message that needs to be decoded. You ever listen to a sermon and you have to use one of those machines to try to actually work out what is that man trying to say? There's this sugar-coated gospel. This gospel lays emphasis on the goodness of man, the good works of man, without any mention of the awful judgment that man is in, with the awful predicament that mankind is under, that they are sinners. You see, when Christ speaks, he speaks with plain language. And he's direct to them. He leaves them in no doubt. There is not one of those who were gathered that day to listen to what the Lord had to say who could have been in any doubt after they'd heard what Christ had to say. Have we perhaps today in the evangelical world lost the plainness, lost the directness of gospel preaching? We've moved away from the simple message of God's salvation to the complicated message of man's intellect. Oh, we want to be inventive, we want to be creative, we want to be dynamic, we want to be more appealing. And as a result, what comes today and what is found in many pulpits is nothing more than puppets spinning out their great ideas, seeking to impress people with their profound knowledge and understanding, but all the time bamboozling people and people do not understand. Here is the greatest preacher. Here is the greatest gospel evangelist. And notice what he says to his congregation: "You're sinners and you'll die in your sin." The tragedy. But he doesn't shy away from it. What plainness there is in this message. There's plainness in this message because of Christ's authority. Remember, Christ is speaking here What's he doing? What does he say when ye shall die in your sins? He is pronouncing judgment upon these people for their sins. As we'll see in a moment, he's saying to them, you think you're upright, you think you're all right, that there's nothing wrong with you, but listen, you're sinners, and you're sinners under the wrath of God, and that sin will be judged. He was saying they were going to be judged for their sins. And why did Christ say that? Because he is the judge of all. The Father has given to the Son that role of judge. And what Christ is saying to this people, he was standing in judgment over them. He saw their hearts, lost, damned. And he said, you're sinners under the judgment of God. You look at verse 16. He says, and yet if I judge, there's his authority. He is the judge. This world tonight, every single one in this world, every single one that has ever lived in this world will one day stand before the judge of all. And it doesn't matter what you deny. It doesn't matter what you say. One day you'll stand before him. Because he speaks with authority as the judge of all. And Christ is reminding these sinners, these religious hypocrites, that they'll stand before Christ and they'll be judged for their sinful actions and their sinful rejection. Listen tonight, sinner in this meeting, tonight you will die in your sins. You die in your sins, you'll be judged for your sins. And where will you be judged for your sins? In a lost eternity, in hell for all eternity. Christ spoke here with plainness because of his authority. But Christ spoke as well with plainness because of his accuracy. Look at verse 16 again. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. There will be no appeal courts in heaven. There will be no European court of human rights for you to appeal to when the judge of all pronounces judgment upon your soul and damns you to a lost eternity, because his judgment is true. It's accurate. Those who die in their sins will go to hell. Look what he says in verse 21. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Where is the Lord? He's in heaven. What's he saying? If you die in your sins, you'll never be in heaven. You die without Christ. You die as you live. You die as you were born. You'll be lost for all eternity. And you know, folks, it doesn't matter what someone might say over your open grave. Oh, it doesn't matter how many nice things somebody will come around, perhaps your open casket, and say, well, they weren't a bad fella. Think of all those good memories we have. The problem, the reality is tonight, you die in your sin, you're already in hell. No prayers and no eulogies, no pleasantries will ever get you out of that awful place. Sinner, listen to me tonight. You shall die in your sins. There's the plainness to be recognized. But I want to see something more here about what the Lord has to say. Not only the plainness to be recognized, but I want you to see the proof to be realized. Because now I want us to move a little more and see the proof of how or why people die in their sins. The first proof I would suggest to you is self-righteousness. The first proof of how a sinner dies in their sin is self-righteousness. Look at verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Do you know what they were doing? They were scorning Christ. They were mocking Christ. They were speaking with contempt towards Christ. They viewed him with disdain and they mocked him. Is Christ going to take his own life? Who does he think he is anyway? You see, these sinners, these religious hypocrites were so self-righteous. What were they saying? They believed they didn't need Christ. Christ has just called them sinners, but they don't see themselves as sinners. They thought they were good enough. They don't need Christ. They had religion and that was enough for them. Is that you tonight? Think you're good enough? Self-righteous, pompous, proud, arrogant. I don't need Christ. I don't need this salvation. You're a perfect candidate for hell. Your self-righteousness. But notice another proof here in verse 23. There's worldliness. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. You see, another proof of how a sinner dies in their sin is their attachment to this world. Now, when the Lord's speaking there about this world, he's not speaking about the actual world, the physical world, the created world, but rather he's speaking about the systems of this world, the pleasures of this world, the allure, the attraction, the satisfaction of this world. What's he saying there? He's saying to these sinners, you're so attached to this world, you're so taken up with this world, you're so taken up with living, you've no thought for dying. They were worldly minded. And this was all that mattered. No thought for the life hereafter. No desire to think about eternal things. Oh, that old saying, it'll all work out. Oh, I'll be all right. Don't you worry about me. Because people today are so taken up with this world. And clinging to everything in this world. And hoping. Enough. Clinging to this world, holding to this world, yet slipping down to hell. Dear sinner, tonight, whatever it is in this world you're clinging to, it's not worth going to hell over. We see something else here, another proof. There's self-righteousness, there's worldliness, but look in verse 24, there's faithlessness. Faithlessness. Verse 24, in many ways, is the crux of it all. I said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in their sins. There was a lack of saving faith in Christ. The Lord is saying, you are denying that I am your only Savior. You're denying that I'm your only hope. You're saying there's some other way. For these Jews, it was through religion. Maybe for you, it's another way. But there was no faith in Christ. They refused to believe that they needed Christ. They refused his salvation. They refused his work on the cross. And you see, tonight, as you are in your sin, you're saying to the cross, to the Lord, you didn't need to die. You're saying to the Lord, you didn't need to hang there on an old rugged cross. Your hands and your feet didn't need to be nailed there. You didn't need to bear the scoffing of this old world. You reject the keystone of the gospel, who's Christ, you'll never be in heaven. You believe not that I am he. The simple, plain reality tonight is you reject Christ, you reject your only hope. Look what he says in verse 24 again. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Why do people go to hell? Because they've refused to believe that Christ is their only means of salvation. They've rejected their only hope for heaven. They've turned away from the only assurance of sins forgiven, which is through Christ. And you see, folks, that's why we must always preach Christ. That's why we must always uplift Christ. He is the cardinal keystone doctrine of our faith. It's Christ and Christ alone. Tonight, whatever else you're looking to, whatever else you're depending on, if it's not faith alone in Christ, you shall die in your sins and go to hell. But notice another proof, and I trust you see now a progression. They've moved from self-righteousness, this proud, arrogant spirit, moved now to worldliness and then to faithlessness. But look in verse 25, there's another proof. Their stubbornness. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Self-righteousness now has given way to stubbornness. Who art thou? Christ had warned them. He has told them. If you reject me, you reject your only hope. And yet they are so stubborn and stuck in their way. Now they don't want to know anything more about Christ. You see, what has happened here? What has happened in verse 25? I believe is this. They have hardened their heart against the gospel. And now the Lord has hardened their heart for one last time. They sealed their destiny. They have been warned. Three times in a short space of time, the Lord says, ye shall die in their sins. And yet the only response is one of contempt. Who art thou? They were often warned, they were often reproved, that yet they refused to believe. I want you to come with me just for a second over to John's Gospel, chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And here the Lord is speaking again to the Jews, not long after this incident in John 8. John's Gospel, chapter 12, look at verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. But here's what I want you to see. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. The Lord spoke, and then the Lord was silent. They wouldn't believe. But here's the tragedy of John 12. Now they couldn't believe, because they had crossed over a deadline. They had the light of the gospel. They had Christ walking with them, talking with them, but they still refused. And the Lord departed. There is a time, we know not when. And there is a point, we know not where, It seals the destiny of man for glory or despair. There is a line unseen by us that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and God's wrath. For these people, this boundary was crossed. Sinner, whatever you do tonight, don't cross over God's deadline. The proof to be realized. How do you die in your sin? Self-righteousness, pride, arrogant spirit, worldliness, oh, I don't need Christ, faithlessness, then stubbornness. That's how you die in your sins. The plainness to be recognized, the proof to be realized, but finally, as we close, I want us to notice the plight to be resisted. The plight to be resisted. Come back to John's Gospel, chapter 8. Ye shall die in your sins. As you listen to the Lord speak those words, you'll see that there's something here to be resisted. There's something to be avoided. That it is possible not to die in your sins. That's the message of the gospel tonight. You don't have to be lost and go to hell. You don't have to spend all of eternity in the eternal flames of damnation in the lake of fire. But before we close tonight, I want us to consider what it is. What is this plight? What is it to die in your sin? We've looked at how. But what is it to die in sin? What is the plight that lies before all those who reject Christ go out into a lost eternity? Remember tonight, we're not talking about the mode of your death. We're not talking about how you'll die. Cancer, heart attack, stroke, perhaps an accident of some form. That's not what we're talking about. We all must die. We all must die. But the thing is, how will we die? Different things will cause our death, but we'll all die. But what is it to die in your sins? I would suggest to you to die in your sins is to die in darkness. You see, tonight, sinner, you live in darkness. You don't realize it. But that darkness is nothing to be compared to the outer darkness of hell. To be cast out into hell in the darkness. God's wrath, God's judgment, it's always associated with darkness. Hell is a place of darkness. On the cross, Christ endured hell when? During the hours of darkness. When the sun refused to shine, and the sun and moon brought no light, total and utter darkness. To die in sin, the plight of it is to die in darkness. It's also to die in hopelessness. You know, everything that these people lived for here in John 8 on earth, in hell was of no value. Remember what the Lord said, that they were of this world. In other words, they were clinging to this world. They were holding on to this world. And now in hell, they realize all of this world is of all no value. There's nothing to cling on to because in hell, you'll take nothing with you. It's a place of hopelessness. Hope is extinguished in hell. Remember the rich man, Luke 16. And in hell, he was in torment. But you know what I believe tormented that man more than the flames, more than the worm that died not? It was that in hell, he saw Lazarus in heaven. In hell, he realized there is a heaven, but he had missed it. He realized that he had lived for this world. He lived for the things of this world, that there is a heaven, but he had missed it. And sinner, tonight in hell, you will realize that you've missed heaven and there's no way you'll get to heaven. That's to die in your sin in total hopelessness. To die in your sin, the plight of it is to die in darkness, to die in hopelessness. But it's to die in helplessness. Verse 21, we read, ye shall seek me. Ye shall seek me. In the previous chapter, John chapter 7, in the verse 34, the Lord utters some of the most solemn of words. He says, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Because it is possible. It is possible to sin away your day of grace. And as you die in your sin, and as you go out into a lost eternity, you realize you're totally hopeless. You're totally helpless. And as death comes to you, and the angel of death comes to you, and you die as you've lived in your sin, you will realize this world has offered nothing to me, and now I have nothing for the world that lies before. Do you know the worst way to die? The worst way to die is not of some natural cause or of some disease or of some accident, though those things be awful. The worst way to die is to die in your sin. Voltaire, the great atheist, came to his deathbed having rejected Christ all his life, having spurned the gospel all his life, and he said, there's a God, there's a hell, and I'm lost. He said, I am abandoned by God, man. That's what it is to die in your sin. As I close tonight, here's the question you must answer. How will you die? How will you die? The scriptures record for us only two ways of dying. We have the record here in John 8 of dying in your sin, dying lost, dying unsaved. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, we read of blessed are those that die in the Lord. There's only two ways of dying. Dying saved or dying unsaved. Dying in Christ or dying without Christ. Dying with God's salvation or dying in your sin. Therefore, how tonight will you die? Do you know what you need to do? Sinner, do you know what you need to do tonight to go to hell? Listen. What you need to do tonight to go to the hell is absolutely nothing. Live as you are. Do nothing. You shall go to hell. But the gospel message tonight is that there's a way to escape. There is a way tonight that you can escape the judgment of God. And that way is coming back to what we looked at in verse 24. It's about faith, saving faith in Christ. Repentance from your sin, turning from your sin, humbling yourself under God and acknowledging, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything from you. I'm a sinner. And coming by faith and trusting Christ and Him alone. How will you die? Where will you spend eternity? Do you know many things you will do in this life you can do over again? Some things maybe you try and it doesn't work out. Well, you can do it again. But listen, you'll only die once. You'll only die once. Therefore, you better make sure you die in Christ. Because you die out of Christ, there is no way back. The way to die in your sin is just to continue on in your sin. But the way to die in Christ is to prepare now in life. Turn from sin. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And do it now. Now. Because you see, tonight there's only a step. There's only a step between everyone gathered here in this building tonight. Just one step from death. You and I are just one heartbeat away from death. Many I know are saved, ready. But for some, you're a heartbeat away from hell. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the wise man says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, sinner, tonight you've been often reproved. Tonight don't harden your heart. For if you do, you shall suddenly be cut off and not without remedy. As I often do at the end of the gospel meeting, plead with you. Whatever you do, don't go to hell. But rather come to Christ tonight. How to go to hell? Just continue on the way you are. How to go to heaven? Come to Christ. Turn from your sin and trust Him alone for salvation. Believe Him tonight. Trust Him tonight. Give your life over to Him. Because there is nothing. There is nothing and there is no one in this world that is worth going to hell over. You shall die in your sin. Heed the warning tonight and be in time. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, realize, O God, the solemn nature of thy words to our hearts tonight. But, O God, we pray that tonight you will be pleased to stamp to speak with power from on high, Lord, into darkened hearts. God forbid that any in this meeting should die in their sins. God forbid that any should go to hell. Oh God, we pray tonight, give that grace. Grace to abandon their sin. Grace to leave their sin. Turn the sinner to thyself. Before we sing our final hymn, God has given me that message. God gave me that message very clearly, very directly, very plainly, but he's given it for someone. Sinner, he's given it to you. Perhaps one final warning, one last time. As you sit in this meeting tonight, is it not time you were saved? Is it not time you were ready? Because time isn't on your side. You're concerned, you'd like to be saved. Where you are tonight, you can cry unto the Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sin. Save my soul. He'll do that. He'll save you. If you'd like to speak to me, someone else, then do that by all means. More than happy to do that. But tonight, be in time. Eternal God and our Father, we leave the issues now of this meeting with thee. Save. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A final hymn, the words of 230. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. We'll keep our seats as we sing this final hymn, please.
Thank you.
us bow in prayer as we close our meeting tonight. Sinner, be in time. Be in time. Heavenly Father, we just leave now this gospel service with Thee, like before Thy presence with us, but O God, we cry, speak on. Lord, strive on. Lord, forbid that any should cross over God's deadline tonight. So Lord, we pray You'll go with us now as we take our leave of God's house. May Thy presence rest, remain, and abide upon us. O God, we pray, keep us in the Spirit. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.